there, folks. I'm Emily.
And I'm Elle.
And we are Oh My Word, a podcast where we talk about books, movies, musicals, TV shows, etc., and give you our ratings and reviews, because even though there are ratings out there for TV shows, there aren't ratings for books or for plays. And we talk a little bit more specifically about the content so you really know what our ratings mean.
Yeah, and because we're not part the rulers of the industry, you could trust our ratings. Which is why we came up with our pearl-clutching system. Because it's not necessarily... Now, we should also highlight that this is not necessarily about how well or not well something is done. It's about the content of it, right?
Correct.
So our content is about violence, language, and romance, specifically. Violence sometimes can include, like, suicide or abuse or things like that. Language, romance could include nudity and things like that, depending what it is. And that's a 0 to 4 system, so scale. So 0 is excellent. Aim for 0. 0 is a complete number. No, it's, I don't know what it is. Aim for 0, and 4 means that there's just too much of all the stuff in it. 0 is probably, definitely not for kids, and probably not even for adults, because why are you putting this in books and films?
Exactly. So we hang out in a bunker in our mother's basement because it's the safest place to be. Because did you know outside of our basement, there's grass, and grass is super itchy. And I sort of just try to avoid things like that at all costs. Because, number one, it's itchy. And also, you never know what else could be hiding in that grass. Spies. Ants.
Did you just try to segue? She did.
Did I?
Because I'll tell you why.
No, I didn't. Because you told me that I don't try to segue anymore. That I'm supposed to just talk and then maybe it'll work out.
Okay, good. I'll tell you why you just did a segue. You don't know what could be hiding in the grass, spies, or something like that. Why is that? Right. Because the book we're going to talk about today, Isle of Blood and Stone, by, we're sorry if we mispronounce your name, Makia Lucier, is about how 18 years ago, two princes and their retinue were murdered by a rival kingdom. But how did that happen? They went on a picnic. And in that picnic, all of a sudden, in the grass and the trees, emerged the people who got rid of them.
Oh my goodness, I'm like a secret amazing segwayer.
Yes, you are. I'm here to bridge the connection. To say all these words that you're throwing out right now, see how they actually connect to what we're talking about.
Thank you. This is why you're the writer.
Yes, well, one of the reasons. The other reason is because you get too busy doing your Disney stuff and like singing your songs and trying to get birds to like sew dresses for you, so you're too distracted.
I have a stitch started, and I feel like that is impressive, because every dress starts with one stitch.
Yes. I'm sure there's a t-shirt in there somewhere. Then we can make a magnet or a t-shirt out of that. And it's gonna be like everything starts with one stitch, and then it's going to look kind of like shadowed, because there's only going to be one stitch at the top. Boom. Design complete.
Beautiful.
I know.
Beautiful.
So beautiful. But anyways, so Isle of Blood and Stone... 18 years ago, two princes and their retinue were murdered by a rival kingdom, or were they? Bum, bum, bum. Maps appear 18 years later, which indicate there's more to the story. Because one of the people in the retinue who was supposedly killed, his signature is all over those maps, and there are parts of the map that things that happen within 18 years, like landscape changes, or like new buildings that went up, and they're in the new maps. So he couldn't have been dead 18 years if he put it in the map that has a signature all over it. So quests, fights, and courtship ensue as three royal attempts to solve the mystery. Now.
Well said.
Thank you. Our pearl clutching scales, violence is a 2, language is a 1, romance is a 2. Actually, even though you got like 2 2s in there, it's a pretty clean book, especially for YA. Which is very...
We could probably almost knock the romance down, really.
To 1. Yeah, because...
Yeah.
There's 2... There's the king, who's like a young... He's like 9... He's very young. He's like 19 or something like that, because his 2 older brothers were the kid... They were supposed to be the heirs, not him. So you have the king, right, who's like 19-ish, and then he's got his 2 friends, and the 2 friends are the ones that have the romance. But it's not... Because it comes in already with them already kind of... like in this new part of the relationship, sort of. So you don't have the whole buildup of like, she looked at me and like stars exploded or something like that. It was more like, I realized that, like, I was starting to feel differently about her. Or, like, I always felt this way about her. I didn't know if I could say it sort of thing. So it's a little bit different. It's like the sort of, like, first love obsessiveness is not, like, there. You know what? You're right. Maybe we should knock down the romance at least to 1.5. They do kiss twice, yeah. But it's not overly described.
And they kiss in moments of... you know, in a lot of books, we've talked about this, how they'll kiss right before they're about to die, or they'll sleep together right before, you know, they're about to die. In this book, it's the opposite. He almost dies, and then he comes, he's attacked by a sea serpent. She saves him. He comes back on land, and then he kisses her because he's like, I almost died. And now I'm not going to hide any longer. And that to me feels different because you did just almost experience death. And so now you're aware of what you almost missed as opposed to we're going to die. So we need to sleep together because I just want to know what sleeping together is like. Like I can't die without having slept with you as opposed to I did almost die. And now I'm aware of the more important things in life or something like that. I don't know. It felt different. Also, they're older. They're 19 or 20. They're not like 15 or 16, which, you know, once you're an adult and you kiss someone, it feels different than teenagers being obsessively in love and kissing and going all crazy on each other.
And there's no indication of them sleeping together either, which is great. So hooray.
No, none of that. So yeah, it is a very clean... And even the violence, which there is some, because there's fighting and there's subterfuge and coups and people taking over, so people are getting beaten up and there are swords and people die, but it's not super gruesome, and it's within the realm. I read the back cover, and Makia Lucier, she says that she was inspired by Indiana Jones because she really liked the Indiana Jones books. And so there's going to be some fighting because you're on a mystery and there are people trying to hide information. So some of that, it was a little bit more in context. It fit, I thought.
Yeah. This book actually, it's just a big adventure. It does feel like a big adventure.
Yeah.
Because this kingdom that they live in, they're all a bunch of navigators and map makers. And we're going to go sail the world. We're going to discover things. This is how you distinguish yourself by through discovery and sailing and all that kind of stuff, which is great. And the whole mystery about the map, but they have to follow the clues in the map and things like that. You do have certain fantastical or like fantasy elements that come in with like the ghost things and whatever, but nothing feels like an out of place kind of magic of like, oh, they magically were able to create a bridge to cross to save themselves. Like none of it feels like that. You also have Mercedes. I don't even know if that's how you're supposed to pronounce it, but I'm just going to pronounce it like that. Or like there's supposed to be like an accented, you know, like a lilted. But so she's the girl. So you have the two guys and you have the girl. So she's even portrayed as being, they try to say like, I don't want to call it mixed race, but I guess she is like a part of her, one parent was from one kingdom, the other parent's from the other kingdom. That other kingdom is the one that they attacked because they supposedly kidnapped the princes and killed the princes and that kind of stuff. So they try to say like, oh, she always felt like an outsider or whatever, but you don't, it's more like said than actually shown. She has one person spit on her or whatever, but she's also considered this like, amazing ambassador. Like the king trusts her to be like an amazing ambassador and she like owns it. Like she is the ambassador. So that's why it never feels like it doesn't really ever really come across that she's less or that she should ever feel less. It says that she does, but like you're like, why? You're this amazing ambassador that the king trusts in and you have proven yourself over and over again. Like forget the one idiot who spit at you. Like don't make it a thing.
They also make it a thing. Like there's a slight feminist thing going on. The fact that Mercedes is an ambassador and then there's other little girl, Reyna, that she wants to be a navigator just like Elias, but only boys can really become navigators. And even though there are women in very high positions of authority and teaching, it seems women are very equally integrated into this world. But it brought up something interesting that you've mentioned before, Elt, which is authors who want to include women in their stories can create worlds in which women are created. They don't have... This is a fantastical place. In this fantastical place, women can be included. You don't have to base it off of how you think the world works and that women are excluded from different professions. Just make it that women are equal. Why do authors set up a world in which women aren't equal?
Right. It's weird. Well, especially when it's like a navigator thing and not... I'm gonna get in trouble for this, maybe, but like when it's not like a feat of strength. Cause now you see they're always like mixing. There's always male and female soldiers who could keep up with each other. So maybe if it's a fantasy world, they can because they have superpowers or something, but whatever. Anyways, here's my real thing with it. Reyna, who's supposed to be this adorable, you know, well, not adorable, but like an ambitious young girl, she has a little bit too much of a key part. Like she makes it a little bit, she's a little bit too like precocious that she's the one who finds the map that like starts this whole thing off. But it's not like she found it and she got time to study it. It's like she got a glance of it in a marketplace and magically was able to find all these clues in it that like automatically, like she barely had time to study it. And there's a few times where she like brings her in. I don't know if it's because she writes in the back, in the, you know, the back matter. She writes about her own daughter and blah, blah, whatever. So maybe she was just kind of projecting because of her own daughter. And maybe she wanted her daughter to see that and whatever. But it's like, this is young adult. It's not middle grade. It's not whatever. Like the 9-year-old is not the key player in the young adult story. And it just felt like she was too precocious. Maybe she wasn't. And maybe it's just me. And I was just finding like that nitpicky thing to deal with. But I did feel like she played too key of a role in certain things for, and it's also, she's nine. Like you didn't show us anywhere that they advance more quickly at the age of 9. Like
I did. Yeah. No, I did feel not, I didn't care so much that she was overly precocious because at least she wasn't an annoying precocious like some kids are in books. Yeah. But I do agree with you that I didn't really understand why this one kid, at first I thought she was like royal, but she's not. She's not related to the king.
Right.
She's not related to, I thought maybe she was Mercedes' niece. I guess I missed it, but it's not really clear why she's so integral to the story.
Yeah. Like it didn't have to be her.
Right. It was interesting.
Yeah. But that's the one thing. Otherwise overall the story is pretty clean. It is a fun adventure. It's
very fun. Good pacing.
Yeah. Pretty good pacing. Yeah, that's right. There is, I think there's a sequel that's more of a companion because it follows Reyna. So, you know, whether you like it or not, I'm mad at Reyna, so I don't know if I need to read that, but it has pretty solid. It's a pretty solid inclusion in the, I guess you could say, on the YA shelf. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it ended. I was actually, now you say there's a companion novel, but it really is like a standalone. Yeah. You know how I feel about these books that you think are going to be standalone, and then suddenly there's like 12 sequels.
Yeah.
And I don't have time for 12 sequels, and sometimes it just ruins it. And this book, it ends. It was good. It tells a full story. You know, family relationships and love relationships and mystery, whatever. It was just fun.
Yeah. Oh, and also one good thing is that even though the king is like 19 years old, there's no sense of like, why are you king at 19 years old? Like you see the people have a love of their, of the king of the family. Like, oh, you're a king. Like we're going to protect you. Like, because there's no sense of like, that's not where the intrigue is. She didn't add in like unnecessary, like intrigue. It's like, go figure out what happened to the princes. Go figure out with the maps. Not like, and also, by the way, people are trying to overthrow the king. As far as
right.
him. So I did like that also. Cause it's like, I'm glad you didn't try to put everything into the book. Like you stuck to the adventure.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it was a lot of fun. Speaking of adventure. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go outside. I was going to say, now I'm feeling the adventurous spirit, but you know what? I still don't know what's in that grass. I'm not going to do it. I don't think I can.
Maybe you should just stand by the window for a little bit and see if that will, you could open it even slightly. Yeah, I'll just stand at the side with like a, yeah. Well, I'll stand at the side with some sort of, you know, weapon or something in case somebody tries to get in. Yeah, my crossbow, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, I think that might satiate my spirit of adventure. I'm going to go grab my Indiana Jones fedora. Dun 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 dun. Oh yeah, see you next time, folks. Thanks so much for listening.
Cheers, everyone. Oh My Word podcast is brought to you by the Pearl Clutching Basement Dwellers at Oh My Word. Follow us on Instagram for updates at Oh My Word Podcast, or like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For full episode notes and detail, visit eltenenbaum.com. Music is by Tim Burke. See you next time.